Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
This year during the pandemic, we're being encouraged not to get together. And one of the things that that's doing is causing a lot of legitimate heartache. Some relief by some people, but for a lot of people, I think some legitimate heartache.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, virtual holidays.
You know, this is a time when happiness is like pumped through every facet of society. And I think there's also something about like, oh, we can't get together. We're not going to be happy. Like, you know, and I think like it's this artificial sense of happiness that I don't think we necessarily take time to reflect on. And this gives us an opportunity to reflect on, well, what, you know, if I'm not going to be able to get together with my family, like, what can I do that's going to bring me joy during this?
But there's a paradox here. So I think if you ask people about the holidays that they celebrate with family, that those celebrations are often stressful in their preparations and in the moments that make them up, and they are joyous in retrospect. So, you know, in the moment, you know, you're trying to get somewhere on time. And if you're a parent, you've got young kids, you got to get everybody into the car and get them all dressed up and get there. And so there's a lot of stress bound up with these holiday celebrations. But then you look back on it fondly because you got everybody together and you have these memories of family. And the interesting thing is the alternative is almost the photographic negative of that. So if you were to choose to just hang out, do stuff that's fun for the day that everybody enjoys, not really with the family, the day itself would be less stressful. You'd look forward to it, but you wouldn't necessarily look back on it years later and feel like, wow, that was just what a wonderful set of experiences I had doing this stuff that I just kind of enjoyed in the moment. And so, you know, and this is, I think, true of a lot of our experiences. There are a certain number of what you could think of as medicine experiences that we go through in life where, you know, we do something that is difficult to do or you know, where it might actually not be thoroughly enjoyable in the moment. But as you look back on it, it was a good thing to have done and an important thing to have done. And there are other things that are much more enjoyable to do in the moment, but don't have the same lasting value. And so I wonder whether some of these holiday rituals are really in that kind of medicine experience kinds of things.
Well, you know, I mean, I think for a lot of us, we imagine the idea of something apart from the reality of it. I mean, I think especially for parents and people who are the typical host of a family gathering, as Art's saying, there's a ton of work that goes into that. I mean, it's not something that just happens. And I think although many people are willing, even happily willing to do it, it is a lot of work. But I think one of the things that, you know, makes these things a part of a family culture and something that, you know, is perpetuated through generations potentially, you know, is that the idea of it is so positive.
But one of the issues with virtual holiday celebrations is that we actually mark a lot of the passage of time by the period of time from one holiday to the next. And we, in some ways, I think, look forward to seeing some of the people that we always have share that holiday with and spending time with them and finding out what they've been up to and enjoying that part of the season. And I think that, you know, the virtual experience is much less rich than that. It's actually a remarkably awkward affair. And anyone who's done any of these kinds of virtual family gatherings of any kind in the last 7 months has probably had the same kind of painful experience in which everyone sits around waiting for someone to say something, at which point seven people try to say something at the same time. And then everyone stops and says, no, you go ahead. And and so there's a whole lot of that. And then somebody's mouth starts moving and you have to say, you're on mute.
But I have to say, though, you know, there are some interesting opportunities that come with this, too. Not to be Pollyannish about this, you know. But I think many times when large groups get together, it's not typical that people have sustained meaningful conversations with individuals. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, crosstalk and chatter, and it's fun, and you know, when you like being in the same in proximity to people you haven't seen in a while. I mean, all that's great, and will be missed by many people this season. But you know, there is an occasion. I mean, this can prompt the idea that what if I actually planned this holiday season to have a personal, focused conversation with somebody in my family or a friend or whatever who I would have been together with on Thanksgiving had we had the opportunity. But since I don't, I'm going to sort of reach out and make time for a phone call, a FaceTime, a Zoom, a Skype, whatever, you know, the medium is, to have a conversation where I ask them questions about their experience and what their life has been like over the past year. They can do the same with me. And I think, you know, when there are all of the business of Thanksgiving, like preparing meals and cleaning up and, you know, all the kinds of things that are just the necessary parts of making the occasion go, when much of that is now forcibly stripped away, you think, well, what are the parts that I, you know, didn't typically take advantage of that I could actually create now? Now, of course, it certainly isn't the same thing as being physically present with people. But I think to take this, rather than imagining just the stuff that's been taken away because of the pandemic, to imagine how to create things that are new, that are different than what we would typically do. I think that kind of optimism helps us get through whatever the discouragement is, that because we can't do what we would typically do and what we have done in the past and what we might want to do now. But yet, there's an opportunity.
Next week, we'll talk about the principle of contrast with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroe, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.